Good morning. I'm really happy to be here. I'm going to start by telling you a story. And you might have heard this story, it's a bit of a parable, before. I'm going to tell it my way, and the main character is going to be a woman, because I'm telling the story, and it's Mother's Day, but it could be anyone. Once upon a time, there was a woman, and God approached her, and he said, "Can you do something for me?" And she said yes immediately, because she recognized God, she knew God, and she trusted God. And God said, "Could you carry these three rocks down the road, up and over the mountain?" So she immediately put the rocks in her wheelbarrow and headed down the road. A little way down the road, another woman approached her and said, "Are you going down the road and up and over the mountain with those rocks?" And the woman said, "Yes, I am." And the second woman said, "I need to get these rocks there as well. Do you mind taking my rocks for me since you're going that way?" And the first woman said, "Sure, absolutely. I've got room in my wheelbarrow." She continued on, and she came up behind a man with a wheelbarrow struggling with his load. And she said, "Are you okay? Do you need help?" And he said, "I'm so tired. I can't get these rocks up and over the mountain." And she said, "I would love to help you. Can I take your rocks?" And so she took his rocks into her wheelbarrow. A little further, a similar situation happened. She took more rocks into her wheelbarrow. Someone approached her with just a small handful of pebbles. And she said, "I don't mind. I can take those. I will help you." And so she just kept putting rocks in her wheelbarrow and continuing down the road up and over the mountain. By now, she had traveled down the road, and she was starting up the mountain, the steeper part. And she was beginning to feel the strain of pushing a full wheelbarrow. And she was beginning to get very tired. She was about three quarters of the way up the mountain when she was just too exhausted and overwhelmed to continue. She stopped. She looked at her wheelbarrow. It was full to overflowing with rocks. And she became angry and bitter and resentful. In her frustration, she yelled at God, "Why are you making me carry all of these rocks up and over the mountain? You know I can't do it all." And God was there in an instant. And he looked at her frustrated, worn-out heart. And he looked at her tear-stained face. And he very gently said, "I only asked you to carry three rocks." I think I could just sit down right now and let you all ponder that story on your own. But as many of you know, especially my husband, once I start talking, it's hard to get me to stop. And I really didn't know this about myself until one day my daughter Leah and Ben were together, and after a lengthy monologue on Leah's part, she turned to her dad and said, "Daddy, why do I talk so much?" And he said, "You get that from your mother." So I talk a lot, and my kids talk a lot, and when we're together, they out-talk me. And so I often find myself falling into this mindless headspace of just saying, "Yes, yes, yes, yes." This is how it goes. "Mom, are we going to the grocery store?" "Yes." "Mom, are we going to drive through that green light?" "Yes." "Mom, is that car going to drive through the green light?" "Yes." "Mom, do you know that person driving that car?" "Yes." "Mom, where is that person going?" "Yes." "Mom, why is that person driving a truck?" "Yes." "Mom, are we going to buy bananas?" "Yes." "Mom, do dragons like bananas?" "Yes." "Mom, how many toes do three-toed sloths have?" "Yes." We can go to the next slide, guys. Could we go to the next slide, AV people? Thank you so much. That's my life. So there are times as a parent that my brain just defaults to yes mode. And I think it's a God-given safety feature just before complete and total meltdown. But several months ago, I came to the realization that I had become a yes person in all areas of my life, at all times, with all people. As opportunities and commitments and responsibilities and events and activities came my way, I said yes to all of them. And I was just like the woman in the parable. I picked up all the rocks along the way. At first, I said yes because I wanted to. I was interested. I wanted to be involved. I wanted to participate. I didn't want to miss out on anything. Then I said yes because I could. I had the skills, I had the abilities, I had the capacity to complete the task requested of me. Then I said yes because I should. I believed it was my responsibility to get things done. And as a good Christian, yes was the only acceptable answer. And I ended up, like the parable, 3/4 of the way up the mountain, tired and frustrated, loaded down with a full schedule, doing a lot of good things, but not necessarily the life-giving things God had for me. I found myself in a place where I no longer wanted to describe myself as exhausted and busy. I didn't want bitterness and resentment to have a foothold in my spirit and taint my relationships with others. I didn't want to miss out on peace, joy, true presence with the people most important to me because I was running around getting things done. And really, I just wanted to stop being so serious and just relax and play and laugh more. So in my search for an alternative way to live, I came to the realization that there is a yes and there is a no, but there is also a third option, the best yes. The best yes is a wise decision that often requires laying down what is good to find what is best. Our lives are full of good opportunities, activities, events, requests, and commitments. This is true for all of us. Mothers, happy Mother's Day. Fathers, male, female, retired, employed, college student, business owner, teenager, family member, friend. Each of us face constant decisions about how we spend our time. And our culture encourages us to say yes to everything, and that we can do it all, and that we should do it all, but we know that's not true. We end up 3/4 of the way up the mountain with a heavy load, worn out, and overwhelmed. Somehow, we've made a lot of yes decisions to get ourselves to this point, sacrificing our joy, peace, and relationships along the way. So how do we make wise decisions in the midst of endless, often good demands? How do we lay down what is good and find out what is best? How do we make the best yes decision? As I continue this morning, I will be referencing the phrase, lay down what's good and find what's best, which is a line from a song, Breathe, by Johnny Diaz. So someone else very poetic came up with that. I will also be loosely, and we can switch to the next slide, guys. I will also be loosely referring to some concepts from the book. I will also be loosely referring to some concepts from the book, The Best Yes, Making Wise Decisions in the Midst of Endless Demands by Lisa Tierkerst. This is a really helpful, easy to read, often funny, very practical book with insight and perspective, and I really appreciated reading it. But overall, the 3 points that I'm going to share today about wise decision making come from my personal story. And today's sermon is more for me than anyone. I'm still somewhere, partway along the road, learning and growing just as much as anyone else in this area. The source of the best yes is godly love. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am a noisy gong or clanging cymbal. If I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give away all I have, and if I deliver up my body to be burned, but have not love, I gain nothing. The thought of functioning, doing life, saying yes to everything, everyone, all the time, without love, terrifies me. To be speaking, serving, helping, parenting, giving, friending, without love, and having my legacy be only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal, all that effort, time, and sacrifice being nothing, this is sobering. It is so important to realize that doing this activity without an attitude of love would not reflect God's love. Grounding our decisions in godly love, with God as the source of our love, and an attitude of love as our goal is critical. Godly love must be how we measure what we do, how we do it, and when we do it. Godly love must determine our decisions. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. These days, as opportunities and requests come my way, I consider the impact that will come from saying yes. Can I say yes and complete this assignment with godly love? Will I begin this opportunity with an attitude of love? Will I be able to complete this opportunity with an attitude of love? And I read through 1 Corinthians 13 with caution, and I look for red flags. When I catch sight of impatience, envy, pride, record-keeping, bitterness, resentment, or irritation in my life, I ask myself, where is the love? And this leads me to asking, am I connected to God? God is the one and only source of love. And to access godly love, I need to be connected to God daily and regularly throughout the day. I'm like a straw, the conduit through which the good stuff, we can go to the next slide, godly love flows. When I'm connected to him and he is my source, I can carry his love in and through me in my life, my decisions, and my actions. I can make wise decisions and maintain my commitments with godly love as my source and an attitude of love as my goal. And suddenly, the responsibilities and the tasks that I was struggling through with pride and impatience, irritability, or resentment, are transformed with God's love. What was once challenging on my own strength becomes possible with God's love as my source. Or perhaps, with godly love as our source and an attitude of love as our goal, we can see more clearly that the best yes is actually a no in this situation at this time. Heavenly wisdom guides the best yes. You have brains in your head, you have feet in your shoes, you can steer yourself in any direction you choose. Or perhaps a more biblical version might be, And this is my prayer. We can go to the next slide, guys. And this is my prayer. Oh, sorry, guys. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ. I'll read that again. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ. God created us well. He created us with intelligent brains capable of using wisdom, knowledge, and insight to make decisions grounded in heavenly wisdom. And God encourages us to use what he has given us. For which of you, intending to build a tower, does not sit down first and count the cost, whether he has enough to finish it? Lest, after he has laid the foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it begin to mock him, saying, "This man began to build and was not able to finish." But how do we know that we're relying on heavenly wisdom and not our own wisdom? Lisa Tierkirst in the book says, "We have to put our hearts and minds in places where wisdom gathers, not scatters." And wisdom gathers in connection with God. Spending time with God helps us to know what is God's truth and what is God's way. Then we can look and see how God's truth and God's way influence our decisions, our commitments, our responsibilities. And connecting with God looks different for everyone. It might be 15 minutes every morning with your Bible and notebook. Maybe a daily prayer walk. Maybe listening to the Bible and talking with God as you drive to and from work. My best conversations with God happen when I'm running. And the key here for me is having a conversation with God, not at God. And I've never left a conversation with God disappointed or without direction. There still might be a process of figuring out what the best yes is, but the conversation helps to clarify and guide me towards the best yes. Wisdom gathers in mature, healthy Christian community, friends, and mentors. We can go to the next slide. And the next one. Thank you. Wisdom gathers in mature, healthy Christian community with friends and mentors. We can check our perspective with other people and gain insight from their wisdom, experiences, and insight. Often a wise, trusted friend can clarify a confusing decision just by being outside of the situation. One day, I burst in on my husband while he was shaving, and I'm pretty sure I said something frantic like, "Ben, I need you to tell me I'm crazy and make a really simple decision for me because I'm experiencing analysis paralysis." And he was more than happy to tell me I was crazy. And he calmly made the best yes decision. In doing so, he broke my whacked out, self-centered, full-on crisis perspective. Having a team of wise friends and mentors who listen and understand us, but who also have a clear view of God's truth and God's way, help guide us in making wise, best yes decisions. Wisdom gathers in healthy living. It is important to try to make decisions when we are in our best possible state. Physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. This isn't suggesting that we fix ourselves first so that we can make a decision. That would be impossible. But I've discovered that I make better decisions when I'm well-rested and unrushed, unhurried, and not hangry. hungry, and angry. Those decisions never end well. A couple weeks ago, a friend invited me to a gathering at her house. Her invitation came right in the middle of a very full weekend, full schedule of events for me. My immediate reaction to the invitation was not positive. What? You want me to go to another thing in my already full life? Don't you people realize I have stuff to do and I'm too tired to attend your party? So in my overwhelmed state, I would have probably said yes and then been resentful. Or I would have said no and been upset about having to miss it out because of my full schedule. Either way, I would have been irritable. Instead, I intentionally held off making a decision about that commitment until I was more rested and less hurried. And in this healthier state of mind, the best yes turned out to be attending the party with godly love as my source and an attitude of love as my goal. And it was a lovely evening. The best yes recognizes that not every assignment is my assignment. This final point has been the most freeing for me. It has helped to remind me that I am not God and that it is not my responsibility to get everything done all the time for everyone. Not every assignment is my assignment. This point was made at the beginning of our parable. The woman in the story was asked by God to carry how many rocks?
Three.
And the consequence of taking on more than those rocks is very clear, but it isn't always clear in our own lives. There are so many good opportunities. And if we're interested and capable, we want to do it all. So spending time with God, connecting with God, helps remind me that I am not God, that He is, and that He's really good at being God. And spending time with God helps to clarify what His specific assignment is for me today, this week, this season. God is a good coach. I played soccer in high school, and I wanted to play all the positions. I wanted to be the striker, because they're the first in line. That's the glory position. They receive the ball from the midfielders. They run up, they shoot, they score. They get to run around yelling, "Goal!" I also wanted to be a midfielder, because they're the heart of the team. They control the play, and they're known for their toughness and their endurance. I wanted to play defense because the role of a good defense player is critical. They're the last line of security before the ball gets to the goalie. I wanted to play all the positions for the entire 90 minutes, but what would have happened if I had? A good coach knows their players well and assigns them to a specific position at a specific time during the two 45-minute halves. When I was sent out to play defense, I played defense. When I was sent out to midfield, I stayed in my position. When I was told to sit on the bench, I sat. I trusted my coaches. God's assignment sounds a bit fancy, but it really isn't. It's just what God designed us to do right now in this season with what we have. It takes a little time, thought, and honesty to really clarify what God's assignment is for us in this season. But once we know, we can go all out in that area with godly love as our source and an attitude of love as our goal, and we can say yes with confidence to the decisions that line up with that assignment. And we can say no with confidence to decisions that don't align with that assignment. Just a quick example from my own life, one of God's assignments for me these days is working with and teaching young children. I'm a mom, an aunt, and a friend to kids, and I make decisions to prioritize these relationships. This God assignment means that sometimes other opportunities, events, and requests may receive a no at this time and in this season. Too many commitments affect my ability to parent well, and I take this into consideration when making decisions. Because I teach junior church on Sundays, there are other areas in the church which I need to limit my participation in. And I have found peace in staying within God's assignment for me. Instead of running around trying to do everything for everyone all the time, now I just try to do God's assignment for me. Interestingly, God has surprised me with unexpected and exciting best yes opportunities. Already with what I thought was a pretty full schedule, I found myself making several new best yes decisions recently. One of those was traveling to Ethiopia for 12 days with Partners with Ethiopia and my sister-in-law and meeting our sponsored kids, Ermias, Tigist, Terefe, and their friends. Traveling to Ethiopia is a time-consuming, big deal with lots of vaccinations kind of thing. But because it was grounded in God's assignment for me, connecting with young kids, I found the experience life-giving. Making wise decisions and laying down what is good to find out what is best doesn't necessarily mean doing less. It can. But more importantly, it means being thoughtful with our yes and thoughtful with our no. It means doing what God assigns us with godly love and guided by heavenly wisdom. So these days, I try to keep the parable of the woman with the rocks in mind. I try to be like her at the beginning, where she was so connected to God that she recognized him, she knew him, and she trusted him. And I try to pay attention to his assignment for me. Three rocks only. As I journey down the road and over the mountain with my three rocks, I try to keep godly love as my source and an attitude of love as my goal. As endless demands, good endless demands, come my way, I consider them with heavenly wisdom, and I line the request up with what God has assigned me to do this day, this week, this season. Wouldn't it be nice to get 3/4 of the way up the mountain and be in a place where the last part, instead of being grueling, exhausting, overwhelming, was life-giving, peace-filled, full of joy, true presence with healthy relationships, and a great view? That's my prayer. That's my goal. Could the music team come on up, and I will pray for us as they lead us into our closing song. Father God, thank you that you care about the details of our life, and you care about our schedule, and you care about the way that we go through the day. And I just pray that you will help each of us to connect with you so that we can tap into you, your godly love, that you will be our source, and that we will make decisions based on godly love with an attitude of love. Give us wisdom. Surround us with your way, with your truth, with your people to guide us. Help us to make wise decisions based on heavenly wisdom. And dear God, I ask that you would clarify for each of us how many rocks and what rocks are our assignment right now. Thank you that you care. Thank you that you are our helper. And all God's people said, Amen.